This is Matthew Backhouse for scoop.co.nz. I'm here with Green MP Catherine Delahunty. Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Kia ora, good morning.
I wanted to start with, you know, your career before you were an MP, and you were politically active from a very young age, weren't you?
Birth. Born into a Wellington political family, left-wing political family. So, yes, I grew up with political activism. My father was involved in, ever since I was 4 years old, when he was part of banning capital punishment. I remember the night that hanging was stopped in this country. My dad was part of that. And then he was involved with the Committee for Vietnam and the secretary of the campaign for against nuclear disarmament. So my entire childhood was political issues in Wellington.
And then you became involved later in environmental activism as well.
Absolutely. Well, actually, as a teenager, as a 15-year-old, this is when the SAS first started following me, was when I was 15, because I was instrumental at Onslow College in setting up the first high school students' union and organising protests and challenging the school system. So that happened when I was 15 and 16. Then I went and lived in a rural area, and when sort of retired from, took up political gardening, if you like, and retired from mainstream life, only to find at the end of 1970s that large-scale mining companies planned to dig up part of the Coromandel area where I lived. So I got very active and spent the next 15 years fighting mining companies. Looks like we're going to have to do it again, cyclic nature of activism. So that was, and that led to work with DOC, Greenpeace, and all kinds of youth work, social justice, education, Treaty Act activism, and eventually to here, and who knows what's next.
And it was while you were working in community education that you became involved with the Greens, was it?
Or? Yes, I was basically working for an organisation called Kotahi Trust, and we shared an office with Sue Bradford MP, and in 1999, well, she wasn't an MP then, but they were looking for a campaign organiser a few hours a week, and I could see they needed one. So I became the campaign manager of the Green Party's Auckland campaign when Sue and Nandor got in, which was before I was even a member of the party. So I didn't think of it as a career path. It took me quite a few years of playing different roles in the Green Party as an organiser, which is what I spent a lot of my life doing, before I actually thought about myself as MP material. And I remember Rod Donald saying to me, oh, you know, you could do this, and I hadn't really thought about it. Because I've always had a deep suspicion of Parliament, which I think is very healthy. And I still hold to that view.
So when did you decide that you would make the move from, you know, sort of being one of the instruments of the party to actually becoming one of the candidates?
I guess my life's always been a tension between organising and making issues public. And when I worked in the anti-mining campaign, I was both, you know, did lots of paid organising or unpaid organising, but I was also a spokesperson. And I guess when you become a spokesperson on issues, and when you're hanging around a lot of MPs, you think, oh, I could do that. So it's just kind of more by hanging around with the party than actually, it certainly wasn't a lifelong ambition, and I certainly don't think that I've reached some kind of high point. It's just an interesting experience where I realised I could contribute at this level, and at this time of my life, I wouldn't want to do this at any other time. I think it's a really hard life for young people.
It's quite a fast rise from you actually deciding to join the party to being here. I mean, how many elections did you serve before you were...
Some people have had a lot faster. I worked very, very hard for 9 years in the party, and it was the third election that I got in, and I was really at the point of going, this is fine, I've made my contribution. I was quite happy to let go of it. I don't remember feeling a great euphoria when it happened, because I actually really value my community work and my life as an activist and community person. I don't think that Parliament is a better life. In many ways, it's a tough life, but it also has incredible opportunities to broaden the ability to reach your message out to a lot of people.
How do you think that your activism in the past has related to what you're doing now?
It's merely another angle on the same thing. Activism experience is vital because, not only activism experience, I suppose I spent quite a lot of time as an RMA mediator, and I spent a lot of time in really sexy, exciting meetings on sewage with very diverse people at a community level. And I think all those that really baseline community experiences where you have been the submitter on the other side of the table at the Select Committee are really important. When you've done been the chairperson of a process that's trying to find an outcome that will work for lots of people, I think those things are really important. But when you come into here, some of those experiences, I realise the quality of experiences I've had that you don't get here, because this place is a pathologically adversarial place which dehumanises relationships and forces people into my party versus your party. And I don't think it's very healthy, and I can see that there's a lot more healthy things going on in the community than there is in Parliament. This is by no means the pinnacle of how to make decisions, let alone pass laws. In fact, it's pretty substandard in lots of ways, whereas I've been part of some very sophisticated, particularly in terms of working with tangata whenua, engagements around working through difference and making community decisions that will benefit people in the long term, and that doesn't happen here. This is about short-term populist expediency, and all the Greens, we are often out on a limb because we're working for a seven generations principle. So this place to me is pretty minimalist in its understanding of how you can craft really good solutions that work for people. And it's partly structural, you know, and historical. And I guess that's one of the shocks when you come in and I'm used to working with some pretty amazing people to achieve things and with pretty good processes. And then you come, you know, this is power, pure and simple, raw and ugly, and it creates a lot of strange human dynamics.
Is it frustrating for you when you see points where there could be a broad political consensus, but then things like the Grand Coalition don't happen because they're politically motivated rather than issues motivated?
Yeah, although to me, I think there is a Grand Coalition. I think in many ways on some issues, I work closely with some of the Labour MPs on issues like pay equity and adult education, and I really value that work. But I also see Labour and National ideologically, their stance on growth and things like law and order, I often find them both deeply disappointing, and I don't believe in fake consensus. I think we actually need to have, you know, real negotiations and real dialogue, and I think we do need to find ways where we can agree.
There are some people who disagree quite strongly with your politics.
I learned at an early age that people don't like it when you stand up for uncomfortable issues, and so for me that's just normal, and I try to make sure I don't read the right-wing blogs which have attacked me consistently since I got into Parliament. I just think that's, I don't know where these people have so much spare time and vitriol. They're clearly not engaged in community activism, because if they were, they wouldn't have time to be so vitriolic and pathetic and personal about things. And I think it's a sad day when you spend your time on the internet attacking the person, not the issue, which is mainly what people do. And I know that some of the, particularly the ACT-thinking people, think MMP is terrible in some ways, because it allows people like me, you know, how could the Parliament have some former hippie woman who's spent her life working for justice? That we're not the kind of people that are meant to be in Parliament. The Greens are full of people who are not meant to be in Parliament, you know. And what I like about the Māori Party and the Greens is that we are actually people who've come, many of us come through very different pathways, and we have something to offer that the privileged do not, and we are privileged in having this experience anyway. And people who came into Parliament who were earning three times the money before they got here, they live in a very rarefied environment, and that's scary when you're looking at a recession. It's pernicious individualism that's actually killing off our communities. And you know, I think it's really important that people with a different view, people who have got a story that doesn't follow the traditional lines, that's who needs to be in politics. If we could actually develop participatory democracy, it wouldn't be about me and whether I got to Parliament. It would be about skilled ways of communities making real decisions that affect them.
How many terms do you think you'd want to stay?
I don't think you can. I think in the first term it's like shock and awe, and so you're just starting to get a handle on it. So one term, unless you hate your work, it's not a good model, and it's also the investment your party's put in you learning how to do the job. So I think two terms is good for anybody, pretty much, in terms of learning how to do it. But beyond that, I'm really not sure about myself, and it's an age thing, and it's also because I like to see some young women come through, but also I've got a lot of other fish to fry, and I don't want to fry them here.